Blog Talk Radio.
To me,
yes.
And for me, and with me, so I'm excited to be free. I don't know if you've ever been in bondage before, but being free is absolutely the best feeling, being free from pain, being free from so many things of being free from. We just thank God for being free.
Yes.
Tonight. Amen.
Yes.
If you're just now tuning in to the Pastor Show, we'd like to welcome you. Welcome. You know, my husband was trying to remind me to say welcome. He's also excited. And so just makes me excited. He wanted to make sure I didn't forget to welcome you all to the show. Well, this is the preacher.
And the pastor.
I'm Tawanika Manning.
And I'm Dorsey Manning.
And we'd like to welcome you to the preacher.
And the pastor.
Show. You just said tuning in. We're talking about today when
we pray.
When we pray.
Amen.
When we pray. That's a very powerful subject today. When we pray. So much happens when we pray. And as believers, we're ordered to pray, and pray brings about so much. I know we had Bible study right before the show, and you were talking about why we pray,
right,
and then knowing why you pray, and then what happens when we pray.
Amen. You know, when we pray, you know, a lot of things happen. Everything in the world happens when you pray. Nothing happens in the world when you don't pray.
Without prayer. So we're going to talk about that more. We want to, again, say happy belated Mother's Day to those that we didn't have an opportunity to speak to on yesterday, or you didn't tune in yesterday to Sunday service. We want to, again, say happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day.
Once again, we celebrate our mothers every day, and we just thank them for being a part of our life, allowing us to be a part of their life, because they had to make the decision to bring us into this world. So we thank God for the mothers. Again, if you're just tuning in, we're talking about when we pray here on the Preacher and the Pastor show. This show will bring us divine knowledge and understanding on how important prayer is to the believer. Now, prayer in the Hebrew Bible is an evolving, has evolving meanings, the meanings of interacting with the Almighty God, most frequently through a spontaneous, individual, unorganized form of petitioning and thanking. So in this instances such as with Isaac, Moses, Samuel, and Job, the act of praying is a method of changing situations for the better. Now, prayer is our way to communicate with God the Father, which was made possible by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ of Nazareth. So when we think about prayer, you know, we understand what prayer is. It's a communication with God. Prayer allows us to communicate effectively with God is through prayer. And that's the only way that we can communicate with God is to pray. If you're just kind of tuning in to the Preacher and the Pastor show, we're talking about when we pray, the basic forms of prayer or praise, petition, which is supplication, intercession, and thanksgiving. And when we talk about praise, what is praise? It expresses warm approval, admiration of, and the expression of approval or admiration for something or someone, in this case, God. Now, understand, people pray to different deities and different gods other than God Almighty, but there is prayer. Like my husband say, prayer. Everything starts with prayer. We have to pray until we – prayer is there. Nothing happens until someone prays, regardless of who they're praying to, but when one's pray. Oh, go ahead, babe. Amen?
As a matter of fact, you know, the Bible says, you know, the man should always pray. The man should always pray without ceasing. The reason for that is because pretty much, I mean, there are many reasons, but the reason that we should always pray is because of that relationship. You know, God definitely wants us to have that relationship with Him. Not just any type of relationship, you know, but just having that loving relationship, knowing that you can go to God for everything. God wants us to come to Him for all things. All things, you know, happen, you know, so when you open up your mouth in prayer. So I was thinking about this topic this morning. I was thinking about this topic, you know, when we pray. So that's why I had to think, okay, well, why, you know, why would anybody pray for anything? Well, we have to pray for anything because we need everything. We need everything.
Amen.
Everything that you can possibly want and everything that you can possibly need, you know, it happens because of prayer and having that right relationship with God. Now, I was thinking about most of the time when we pray, when I was coming up, I was always taught, you know, you pray when you want something like a Christmas, like having a Christmas list. You know, I want a car, you know, I want a small truck, you know, I want a bicycle, you know. And we do that, you know, as adults, we carry that type of behavior, thinking that that's the reason why you pray, to be able to, for God to give you all the things that's on your list of praying. So I thought about that, you know, I thought about that, and I was like, you know what, we should definitely pray because there's more to life than just getting things. If we're just praying just to be able to receive things, especially if they are worldly things, then what are we doing? Like, what are you really doing? You're asking God, you know, to give you all these things of the world, but you're not even asking God to be able to help you and the things that you really need. When you're communicating with God, you know, it's certain things, you know, that He will show you. It's certain things that He will tell you. You know, prayer, you know, that is that communication. I think I said this on the other day, you know, not a monologue, not you just saying, you know, to God, you know, all that you want to say and then, you know, just shut it off. You know, it's a dialogue where you communicating with God and God is communicating with you. And guess what? We are using words. You know, words are powerful. Words are everything. You know, man, I should always pray. You know, you should use words to be able to pray and to be able to speak things and to be able to expect things from God. Amen.
Amen. Amen. If you just went to the end of the Preacher and the Pastor show, we're talking about when we pray. What happens when we pray? There's so much that happens when we pray. First of all, there is power and authority given when we pray to God. Prayer is one of the most powerful weapons God has given us. Prayer is a conversation with God the Father so that He can move on our behalf. When we pray, we are restored, healed, protected, blessed. We receive peace, we receive favor, we receive help. There is help in prayer. So when we pray, there's so much that we receive from God. We receive an understanding. Sometimes we don't even know what to pray, but when you pray, the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. Make an utterance so that we can understand what to pray. I don't know if you ever been in prayer and didn't even know what to pray. You just got that notice you needed to pray. And sometimes we don't even feel like praying because once you understand there's power in prayer, God hears our prayers. And this is for the believer. And it's so important that the believer prays. Because the Bible says you can't pray until you believe. You look at Romans 10 verse 14. But before people can pray to the Lord for help, they must believe in him. So before you can even pray, you got to believe in what you're praying. Because what's the use of you praying if you don't believe? So you got to get to the point where you believe enough that when you pray that what you're praying for, that it will, that you will receive all that you're praying for in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And understanding when we pray, understanding who are you praying to and in what name are you praying in? Because the Bible declares that when we ask anything in Jesus' name, if you ask anything in my name, that the Father will do. So make sure we are praying, that we're praying, we're addressing God. Father God, we come to you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Father God, we don't just come. We come in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, decreeing, declaring the word says in the Bible, whatever the verse is, and knowing how to use the scripture when you pray so things can be done, so things can be activated, so, you know, your prayers can be opened, and making sure your prayers don't just go to the ceiling and fall back down like you, but those prayers are ascending into the heaven, and God is hearing your prayers to answer your prayers. We need to understand what happens when we pray. Prayer is plugging into the power, the perception and the purpose that can only be found in God's presence. So we need to understand when we pray, what happens when we pray. If we look at 1 John 5:14, and we're talking about praying, when we pray, what happens? There's so much that happens when we pray. If we look at, I'm going to give you an opportunity for those of y'all that want to turn with me. In the Bible, we're going to go to 1 John 5:16-17. The Bible says, if anyone sees his brother sinning a sin which does not lead to death, he will ask and he will give him life for those who commit sin not leading to death. There is a sin leading to death. I do not say that he should pray about that. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is sin not leading to death. What is the Bible saying to us here? When we pray for one another, when we pray for our brothers and sisters, that their sins can be forgiven, if we pray for them, if we come together and pray, it is so important. So when we pray, our sins are forgiven. We go to God, and then that's the way to give God opportunity to work in our life. That avenue that we've opened up for the enemy to operate and cause confusion, to cause sickness, to cause diseases, premature death, the death of any kind to us, because we have avenues that we've opened up to, you know, different ways for the enemy to operate by the way that we're operating in this life and sin. So now we pray to God. So when we pray, God answers our prayers. He forgives and he begins to help us in those situations that we've opened ourselves to, which we call self-inflicted wounds. So Father God, we just want to say thank you, Father God, that we can pray that Jesus came, that we didn't have to go to the priest for the priest to hear our prayers and then go before God to be able to petition our prayers for us. When Jesus came and he saw the veil and the veil was split in half, when he said it is finished on the cross, it gave us an opportunity to be able to go to the throne with grace boldly and receiving and asking. What is asking? Praying to God, asking God in prayer to deliver us, to help us, to heal us, to deliver us, to set us free, and to forgive us for our sins. Because Jesus came, we're able to pray in our prayers to be received. We don't have to go to men. But the Bible does declare, well, there are two or more gathered in my name, touching and agreeing. That means we're touching and agreeing in prayer that our prayers will be answered. When we pray, we can receive all that we are praying for in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. If you're just now tuning in, we're talking about when we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now, we're talking about when we pray. So I was sitting here thinking, I was hearing you saying, you were saying about the believers, and you were saying how when we pray, these things. So what if I just don't know enough? What if I just don't know enough about prayer itself? You know, as a kid, you know, we were taught, you know, general prayers. You know, we know to pray in the morning, you know, when we get up and before we go out to school or wherever we're going. We also know to pray, you know, over our breakfast, our lunch, and our dinner. We knew to pray about that, and we knew to pray before we go to sleep at night. You know, just general prayers, you know, we knew to do that. So I was just wondering, do we really know how to pray? Because I believe that most people, they're Christians, really don't know enough, you know, how to pray or what to pray. What to pray. And I believe not knowing what to pray would put you in that place to where, you know, I'm not communicating with God. I'm just not going to communicate. I'm not going to pray because I don't know what to say and I don't know what to pray. You know, God already knows my heart anyhow. He already knows my heart anyhow. He knows what I need. So why should I even pray about it? I'm just expecting for all that I need to show up. I'm just expecting that, but I didn't open up my mouth and ask. I didn't really truly in my heart believe that I was going to receive all that it is that I need. So do I know enough to actually open up my mouth to pray? And I believe the answer is when you really get into the Word of God, when you really make a decision that, you know what, let me just read the Word. So because if I can read the Word and I can believe the Word, God wants us to say to him what he's already said to you. But what you pray about is already written. It's already written in the Word. That's what you pray about. There's so many people that have already conspired to destroy you. There's so many people that have already conspired to destroy you. And believe it or not, they are praying over you. They are saying things. They are speaking things of death and destruction over your life. Even right now. And some of them are very close to you. They could be friends or family members or co-workers or somebody that just seen a picture that know your name and I just can't stand her. I just can't stand him. And they really are hoping or they are desiring for you to fall or for you to crumble or for you to experience something unnatural for you. And that's called hatred. So people are definitely praying. They are conspiring against you. So prayer is definitely it's a thing that we should always do, because if you don't pray and you don't know what to pray about, it's only going to cost you your life, your whole life.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, I was listening to what you were saying. You were saying people that don't know how to pray, what to pray, and how we go to the Word of God. And in prayer, when we pray, forgiveness is given to us. And even in the Bible, if you look at Matthew 6, verse 5 through, let's go 5 to 14 to say. So the Bible here in Matthew 6, verse 5, it says, "And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. And surely I say to you, they have their reward." But in verse 6 says, "But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly." And then verse 7 says, to answer your question, "And when you pray, and do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words." Verse 8 says, "Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him." And then verse 9 say, "In this manner, therefore, pray, our Father in heaven." So the answer to your question is pray the Lord's Prayer when you don't know what else to pray. So you can talk to God. It's a communication with God, like you're talking to your friend, but you're talking to God, but the reverence God, who God is, the God Almighty, the creator of all things. So you're going to come to him trusting and believing more than you trust in man or woman. So you go to God when you don't know what else to pray, because the Bible declares here that for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. So in this manner, therefore, pray. And this is what Jesus was saying to the disciples. See, but Jesus prayed with a kind of authority and power they had never seen before. So as though God was listening already, God had already heard his prayers and was answering his prayers. So when they came to Jesus, as it is told here in Matthew 6, they didn't say, "Teach us another prayer." They said, "Lord, teach us to pray the Lord's Prayer." And Christ's response, that was Christ responded for them to pray the Lord's Prayer. So They didn't ask for another prayer. So the prayer that they get, the prayer that Jesus prays, which is here in the Bible, recorded in the Bible, that says, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen." And so this was the prayer that Jesus told his disciples to pray. So when you don't know what to pray, pray the Lord's Prayer and speak what is on your heart. "I've come to you, Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Father in heaven. I come to you praying," because when we pray and believe in that we are praying for, I'm talking about with no, the Bible says, when you believe with no doubt, that means you have no unbelief, no, ain't no way how it's not going to happen, ain't no way it's going to happen as far as a situation that you prayed about, that they're saying this is going to happen, but you believe God has already taken care of it. You're going to the throne room of grace boldly, asking and receiving all that you're praying for in the name of Jesus Christ, to receive that because you're trusting what you're praying for. But when you don't know what to pray, pray the Lord's Prayer and just allow yourself to speak to God. "Father, I'm hurting. Father, I can't take it no more. Lord, you know where I'm at. Lord, you know what I need before I ask. But yes, I'm going to ask, oh God. Lord, let my prayers be not just heard, but let my prayers be answered on today in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, I can't take no more. Lord, I take my hands out. I've messed it up. I tore it up. Father God, I give it to you, Lord. And help me, Father God, to keep my hands off of it, because I have the tendency to keep on wanting to touch that thing that I say I trust you with, Father God. Lord, so I ask that you increase my faith on today, and that God will operate because he knows your heart. Because we can say anything, but when we pray, hallelujah, so much happens. Power, authority is given, peace is given, you're restored, you are healed, you are protected, you are saved, you are rescued, you are helped in that thing. So that is power in prayer, but we have to pray to receive it, because that's why we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, the Lord's Prayer is definitely that's definitely a prayer, like a the model prayer, and we should know how to use the model prayer. Jesus said, you know, pray in this manner. He says, pray in this manner. So we have to make sure, you know, we do tell the listeners to pray in this manner. That means praying in the manner of knowing God, you're praying to God, and what you're praying to him about, you knowing that you're going to receive all that you are praying about.
Yes, and even
knowing,
when you're
knowing that you're going to receive,
yes,
believing what you're praying,
yes,
you know, praying that prayer. You know, he says to pray in this manner, to pray in that manner.
Yes.
So you know, because it's easy for me or for you to just pray the Lord's Prayer, and you know, we just shed it off. You know, I prayed the Lord's Prayer, and, you know, hey, that's it. But when you pray, prayer should definitely be a communication. It should be the opportunity for you to communicate and for you to receive, for you to speak
Amen.
To God, and for you to receive a word from God. You know, because when you receive a word from God, we are talking about being divinely guided. You're being divinely
yes.
guided. You might not even know the reason why. You know, get up, go get in your car, and just drive around the corner, go park at the store. And I'm not saying that's something that God is telling everybody to get up and go and get in the car, but actually following direction or following the instructions that you are getting from God. So what you're doing at this moment, you pray and you're trusting that he's going to lead you and to tell you what to do. You are yielding to the Holy Spirit. You're letting the Holy Spirit lead you in everything, and that's where we should definitely be every single day. Not
Amen.
Only should we pray, we should pray over ourselves every single morning, but we should definitely be praying, you know, all throughout the day. We should make sure that, you know, we're praying about everything. We should make sure that everything that we are doing or desiring to do, we're asking, you know, God for that leading or for that guidance. And even when we pray over our food, you know, when we pray over our food, you should not just pray for your food before you eat it. You should pray for your food after you eat it as well. Because even that, you know, you are still in that place where you are praying. You know, man ought to always pray. You should stay right there.
Amen.
Always with prayer. always with prayer.
Amen.
And you should make sure that you stay underneath that covenant of grace. That's what it means when you plead the blood of Jesus Christ over your life. So you are covered. You're praying to God, and He's covering you. He's leading you. He's guiding you. He's keeping all the destruction, you know, out of the way. You know, death and destruction that's lurking to destroy you. Satan can't put his hand on you. Not only he can't put his hand on you, he can't disrupt what you and God are talking about. There's all kind of thoughts and things that can come in your mind to try to disrupt that communication. But we have a gift called tongues. We have a gift called tongues. You can pray in an unknown tongue that you don't know what you're praying about, but God knows what you're praying about. It is the Holy Spirit that is praying for you. God inside of you that's praying to God for you. And in that time, when you are praying in tongues, you are praying for things that you don't even know about, like your health. You are praying about things that somebody has sought out to kill you. And the Holy Spirit knows this, and he's speaking to God that you're being covered. You know, we should always, you know, be in that position to where we always are communicating, always stay in that place where you're communicating, where you're being led by the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Amen. If you're just tuning into the Preacher and the Pastor Show, we're talking about when we pray, what happens when we pray. And one of the statements that the pastor made was about those that don't know how to pray, you know, exactly how to pray. And mm-hmm. is there a certain time that I need to pray? And, you know, if I pray one time a day, is that good enough? Should I be praying three times a day? You know, and the Bible tells us what we need to pray, because even the disciples asked Jesus to teach them how to pray, not to give them a different prayer, and just to give a little bit more information on what the Lord's prayer, what it does for us. See, this is prayer is called the Lord's Prayer because Jesus gave it to his disciples, so it can be a pattern for our prayers as well. So we should praise God, pray for his work in the world, pray for our daily needs, and pray for help in our daily struggles. So the phrase, our Father in heaven, indicates that God is not only majestic and holy, but also personal and loving, because we have a relationship with God, that we can come to the throne room of grace boldly and asking and receiving. So the first line of this model prayer is a statement of praise and a commitment to hallow our honor or honor God in God's holy name. So we can honor God's name by being careful to use it respectfully, you know, not using it loosely. So if we use God's name lightly, we are remembering God's holiness. So the phrase, your kingdom come, is a reference to God's spiritual reign. Okay, so we need to understand this, God's spiritual reign in the name of Jesus Christ. So now God's kingdom was announced in the covenant with Abraham in the beginning. So if we can understand that when we pray, I think people need to have an understanding of what the Lord's prayer does when you don't know what else to pray. It covers, you know, a multitude of our lives. And this is why Jesus prayed this prayer with so much authority and power. And this is why he gave this prayer to his disciples to pray. So when we pray, your will be done, we are not resigning ourselves to faith, but praying that God's perfect purpose will be accomplished in this world as well as in the next. So when we pray, give us this day our daily bread, we are acknowledging that God is our sustainer, our provider, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. It is a misconception to think that we provide our own needs ourselves. I know you have the job and you have this, but it is God that is our provider. It is God that makes sure that we have what we need when we need it. So a lot of people have a misconception that they are doing everything, and when things begin to fail and they call on God, then God is doing it now. But no, God is already doing it for you. If you have a source of income, if you have shelter, God is doing it. God is sustaining you in all that you have right now. He is working everything out for your good where you are right now. So we must trust God daily to provide what he knows we need. And it's all in this prayer. So when we pray, all our needs are met. You know, things that we don't need, God is already doing, and he's already working it out. And people are going, I'm waiting God to do it. And God is saying, I've already done it. But if you can look at it, not in the natural eye, but in the spiritual eye, to see what God is already doing in you and in your life. And as you pray and understand while you're praying this prayer, all that is working for your good, all that God is doing just in the Lord's prayer. And this is why Jesus gave the disciples this prayer, to pray. And that's why they was asking, you know, Jesus to teach them how to pray, because they realized prayer is important and the power and the authority that Jesus had when he prayed this prayer.
So when we look at verse 13, and do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one, the Bible is saying God doesn't lead us into temptation, but sometimes he allows us to be tested by them. So as disciples, we should pray to be delivered from these trying times and for deliverance from Satan, the evil one, and his deceit, because Satan is deceitful. He'll deceive us into thinking or making it look like something that it is not. So all Christians struggle with temptation. We all have some type of struggle, whatever that struggle may be. So sometimes it is so subtle that we don't even realize what is happening to us. So God has promised that he won't allow us to be tempted beyond what we can bear. And you can reference it back to 1 Corinthians 10 and 13. So ask God to help you recognize temptation and to give you strength to overcome it and choose God's way instead. So understand, people think it's temptation to cheat and to do all this. No, there's temptations to not believe, to have unbelief, to be tempted to believe you can't be healed, to be tempted to believe that this is, you know, be happening to side with this side. So a lot of times we think about temptations, we always think about, you know, it's a sexual sin, that we're being tempted by men and women to commit an affair with that. But no, it's more than that. We could be tempted by money to do things, to not believe, to walk on the other side, to operate in the evil, to follow Satan. So we should not allow ourselves to be tempted. But God is there to help us in those times that we are tempted, to be able to overcome the temptation. So understand what the Lord's Prayer does and when we pray and what happens when we pray. When we pray the Lord's Prayer, that is something I make sure we do every day, is that we pray the Lord's Prayer every day as I offer up all the other requests to God and thanking God and praising God. There's different levels when we pray, what happened, there's praise, there's worship, you know, that we do, praising God and thanking God for what he's doing in our life. That's so important. And before I turn it over to you, Pastor, I do want to say this to anyone that's listening. I stand on the book of James 5:16. It says, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. And you may know it is the prayer of the righteous availeth much. I'm not sure what Bible that you all are reading for. They read a little bit different. Again, that's James chapter 5, verse 16. Confess your trespass, confess your sins to one another, and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. This is what the Bible is saying. What is it saying? Christ has made it possible for us to go directly to God for forgiveness. But confessing our sins to each other still has an important place in the life of the church. So one, if we have sinned against an individual, we must ask him or her to forgive us. And two, if our sin has affected the church, we must confess it publicly. And then three, if we need love and support as we struggle with a sin, we should confess that sin to those who are able to provide that support. So, and in four, if after confessing a private sin to God, we still don't feel his forgiveness, we may wish to confess that sin to a fellow believer and hear him or her to assure us of God's pardon, that God has forgiven us. So in Christ's kingdom, every believer is a priest to other believers. So we are all ministers to minister to each other, because a lot of times we're going through with this thing, and when we pray, forgiveness comes, but a lot of times we have not accepted the forgiveness that God has already forgiven us. So we still operate in unforgiveness because we have not forgiven ourselves. So we need to forgive ourselves, because when we pray, forgiveness comes. Amen?
Amen. Amen. I was thinking about some real simple prayers, you know, that used to come out, and we would just say these prayers like, Lord, have mercy. Do you know that is a prayer, and that is a very powerful prayer? Lord, have mercy. Whatever is going on in your life, or whatever it is that you cannot handle, or something that you cannot, Lord, have mercy. That prayer there, that charges God's angels to come down and help you, to guide
yes.
you, to deliver you. That prayer there, Lord, have mercy. Just that one. Prayer is so powerful. We need to realize, you know, how powerful prayer is. And the reason why
yes.
we should realize how powerful prayer is, because, you know, you are using words to communicate. And you're using words, you should use words, you know, effectively. Help. Just that one word, help. That's a prayer.
Jesus.
That's a very powerful prayer. Help. Just saying that, help.
that's saying that, hey, I need your help right now. And the same thing happens, you know, when you ask, you know, help and you truly expect God to help you, he charged his angels to come down and to help you. I mean, those things, those were two that I was thinking about. I was thinking about those two, because those are two that we would say. And that was even that prayer right there, what you just said, Jesus. That's also a prayer. You're calling. That's also a prayer. That is. That's a prayer. You are calling on the name of Jesus. You're asking for guidance. You're asking for help. So I'm just saying that because, you know what? You know, we should definitely pray how we know how to pray, but make sure it's in a manner of knowing what to say and when to say it. But that communication that you have with God, the more you will pray, the more God, you know, will be able to show you things. You know, he has your attention. He has your attention. And if it's for something that's going on in your life, and if it's for something that's not going right, or it's for something maybe you're not healthy, or maybe your financial situation is not like it needs to be, or maybe your relationship is turned upside down, you know, maybe it's violent or whatever is going on, you know, we should definitely know to pray. Everybody that prays together, you know, God is right there in the midst of it. He's in the middle of what y'all are praying about because you are agreeing. I think the Bible says, you know, when two or more are gathered together as touching and agreeing, he said, there I am in the midst. Mm-hmm. But what are you doing if we're gathered together? If we're gathered together, that means we are coming in agreement on something. We are asking God to be in the middle of us, you know, to show us things. And it's in that moment. It's in that moment. My voice and your voice and a friend's voice, you know, it's reaching up and we're saying, God, we trust you on this. We trust you in this situation. Yes. We don't know what to do. We're trusting you. You know, a family should pray together. And we've always heard that, you know, a family that prays together, stays together. How true is that? True is that? Family that prays together definitely stays together. They definitely stay together. Because you are doing something so very important. You are covering each other. You are make sure that you are covering where I'm strong, where you're weak, and I'm strong. You're covering each other. And you make sure you're spending that time to communicate and asking God to lead us all. You have placed yourself, you know, in that hedge of protection with prayer. You place yourself. And we go from, you know, just little simple prayers to prayers, you know, that we would never even understand. God would take us to the Word. I mean, everything that we pray about, you know, we can go to the Word. You can go to the Word because it is already written. It's already written. Let's say, for example, if I read John 15, which is one of my favorite chapters to read, if I read John 15 in verse 4, it says, abide in me. So if I believe that, now that's Jesus speaking. He said, abide in me. So I'm saying what is already written. Okay, God, you said to trust in, you said to abide in, you said to live in you, and you said that you would live in me. So because you said it, you said right here in your word, and your word is true, for we know that you cannot tell a lie. So I'm trusting that all that I'm praying about and all that I'm hoping for and all that I have faith in, it shall be so because you said that you are the truth, and I know that you are the truth. You say that you are the way, and I know that you are the way because I done tried you. I done tried you. And I know that it works, and you are my light. So because, you know, it's already written, see, what we are doing is we are believing and we are trusting in God, and we are using his laws and promises that is already written in the Word, and now we can speak a thing and we can command a thing, because the more you commune with God, the more you will trust and believe. You do not say what you do not believe. You don't say what you don't believe. What's in your heart will come out of your mouth. What's in your mind would tend to come out of your mouth. So what's in your mind? And what's in your heart? See, I like to be precise when I think about things. I like to be precise, you know, when I'm praying about things, because if I'm putting the word in my mind, if I'm putting the word in my heart, if I'm reading the word and I'm trusting in the word and I'm believing in the word, I will become the word because it will come out. It'll be times where people will say things. It'll be times where things will happen. And you don't know what to do. And then what's inside of you, which is the word of God, it will come out. It will come out. The word of God will come out. You get a bad report and the doctor say that you are sick. I am not sick because the word of God said by his stripes I am healed. It'll come out. You'll be enforcing a law, which is spiritual law. You'll be enforcing spiritual law to speak to your situation instead of allowing your situation to speak to you. Instead of you allowing people to tell you how you feel, see, people don't get the last say. No, let me tell you what God said. God said that I am healed. God said that I am redeemed. God said that I am delivered from all things.
When we pray.
So we should definitely know to pray. When we pray, we should definitely communicate and allow God to be able to use us. God needs that body that he can flow through. He needs that believer. Every single body in the Bible that he used were people that no one would we even thought he would have used. If who would have known God would have used someone like Saul, a murderer, a person? He persecuted Christians. Why would God use him? Why would God use him?
When we
pray.
Because
he wanted to show. Yeah, when we pray. He wanted to show that God, he uses the lowly, the low people that are humble and meek and that pray and believe. He can use it because he can get a word through you. Somebody needs to hear the word.
Amen. If you just tuned in to the preacher, the pastor show, we're talking about when you pray. Prayer is the key to the kingdom. That's what Apostle Mark A. Robson mentioned over as just tuned into the show tonight, that prayer is key to the kingdom. And we, as believers, know that prayer is the key to kingdom and kingdom building. Again, if you're just now tuning in to the preacher, the pastor show, we're talking about when we pray. Prayer brings about so many things, as Pastor was saying on tonight. And when we look at the book of Colossians, chapter 4, verse 2, it says, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in with thanksgiving. What does the Bible say to us? Have you ever grown tired of praying for something or someone? You know, as we're talking about when we pray, the point is getting to the point so that we are praying, because some people are not praying. But when we do pray, what happens? But there are sometimes people get to the point where they actually get tired of praying for something or someone, even for themselves. And they come and there'll be a time where they're not praying. They'll tell you they've got to a point where they could not pray. But Paul says we should continue earnestly in prayer and be vigilant in our prayers. Our vigilance is an expression of our faith that God answers our prayers.
Yeah.
Faith shouldn't die if the answer comes slowly, for the delay may be God's way of working his will in our lives. So when you feel tired of praying, know that God is present, always listening, always answering, and maybe not in ways that you had hoped for, but in ways that he knows is best for you, that's best for us. So the Bible says continue. Paul says it's continue earnestly in prayer. And during these times, there's so much going on. We understand that prayer brings healing. And if we look in the book of Second Chronicles 7:14, you see this a lot online now, that what's going on right now in the world with the coronavirus, and people are praying this prayer. Again, it's in 2 Chronicles 7:14. You want to give you a chance to turn to that. I want you all to turn with me on tonight, those of us that don't know it. But if you go to 2 Chronicles, and that's, again, 2 Chronicles, you all, 2 Chronicles. I'll give you all a few seconds to get there. In 2 Chronicles, what is the Bible saying to us in 2 Chronicles? And it's, we're going to be in chapter 7:14. All right?
Amen?
All right. So the Bible says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. So the Bible is telling us here that we need to pray that God would hear from us and he will heal. So not only that, prayer brings healing, not just to one, but to all, that he will heal our land. So
understanding what the Bible is saying. When we pray, God answers. God hears. God hears. So Solomon in chapter 6, Solomon asked God to make provisions for the people when they sin. So here God answered with four conditions for forgiveness. One, humble yourselves by admitting your sins. Two, pray to God, asking for forgiveness. Three, seek God continually. And four, turn from sinful behavior. True repentance is more than just the talk. Now, when we're praying, we should be repenting. That's something that should be first that come out of our mouth, a prayer of repentance. So true repentance is more than talk. It is a change behavior. Behavior, whether we sin individually, as a group, or as a nation, following these steps will lead to forgiveness. God will answer our honest prayers when we pray. God is calling his people to pray. He's calling those that believe in him and trust in him to pray. Amen?
Amen. Amen. And make sure, you know, all that your prayers are authorized in the name of Jesus. Because you
Amen.
Can be opening up your mouth and praying, but then you don't have the right authorization. Make
Jesus.
Sure that all of your prayers are in the name of Jesus. And you cannot go
Jesus.
You cannot go around that. You cannot go around that. Because if you try to go around that, what you're doing is you're still trying to operate underneath a law. You're trying to operate underneath the law of Moses. When you're just praying, you want to go to God and you want to be praying. But you're not, you know what I'm saying, you know, praying in the name of Jesus. See, because, you know, when Jesus came and he fulfilled all the prophecies, it was for you to be able to go through him to be able to get what you need from our Father. Always pray, but praying in the name
I
of
wanna
Jesus.
I want to come in on that, Pastor. I want to come
ahead.
In. Can I come
ahead.
In for a minute that you said that, you
go
know,
ahead.
Actually in Jesus' name? Because in Mark 11, verse 24, the Bible says that, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. This is Jesus speaking. And we know when the Bible says, if you ask anything in my name.
Uh-huh.
In my name, he said that
in
I will do.
Goodness.
You got to ask in Jesus. I think he says it in the beginning here. So what is this this chapter saying? Jesus, our example for prayer, prayed all things are possible for you. So nevertheless, not what I will, but what your will. So our prayers are often motivated by our own interests and our desires. We like to hear that we can have anything, but Jesus prayed with God's interest in mind. So when we pray, we should express our desires, but want his will above ours. So what we have to do is check ourselves to see if our prayers focus on God, on our interests, or on God's interests. That's important. Even though I'm sorry to interrupt, God's going to say something. Go ahead, Mr.
Yeah, God already gave us. God already gave. We have to realize that God already gave you all that you need. All that you need. My grace is sufficient enough. So we know that Jesus Christ, you know, is that grace. It's that grace, you know, that is in the world. Jesus Christ is that grace, and his grace is sufficient enough.
Yes,
so that you got to
yes.
make sure, you know, that you're mm-hmm. praying. You got to make sure that you're going to God, you know, in the name of Jesus. Just
in the
that,
name of
just
Jesus
that right
Christ.
There, you know, in the name of Jesus. We
Absolutely.
Know that demons and devils have to flee in the name of Jesus. We know that your situation, it has to change in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
So
when
that.
We pray.
Yeah.
When we
right
pray,
there, when we pray, and when
Jesus
you're right there,
Christ.
You're right. If you don't remember anything, if you don't remember anything, remember that God loves you, and he loves you because
yes.
he gave his son, his only begotten son.
Yes,
he
amen.
Gave his only begotten son for you to
amen.
Be he's that intercessor. He is the intercessor for you to be able to go to God and ask him for all that you want and need in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. If you just been tuning into the Preaching the Pastor Show, we're talking about when we pray. What happens when we pray? Some people have not gotten to the point where they can even pray or they stop praying. But if so much happens when we pray, the devil must flee when we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. When we pray, healing comes, deliverance, forgiveness, when we pray. So God is calling his people to pray. The Bible says in Matthew 26 and 40 and 41, then he came to the disciples. We're talking about Jesus. Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. serpent and said to Peter, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? And verse 41 says, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. This is Jesus talking to the disciples. So Jesus used Peter's drowsiness to warn him about the kinds of temptation he would soon face. The way to overcome temptation is to keep watch and pray. Watching means being aware of the possibilities of temptation, sensitive to the subtle things, and spiritually equipped to fight it, because temptation strikes where we are most vulnerable. We can't resist it alone. So prayer is essential, because God's strength can shore us up and our defenses and defeat Satan's power. So we have to watch and pray. When we pray, we have the strength that we need. When we pray, we are protected. When we pray, we are guided. When we pray, we are healed. When we pray, we are delivered. When we pray, we are set free. When we pray, we are helped in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. So at this time, we have a few more minutes in the show, but I want anyone that wants to chime in on the conversations. I know I have pastors and prophets on the line. If you want to chime in on the conversation when we pray, please do so. I know at this time, just press 1 if you're on the line, and if you're actually listening via the internet on Blog Talk Radio, you can call us at 845-277-9213 as we talk about when we pray. We have about 9 minutes left in the show. We have a gospel public ministries. We're actually a church without walls. We're on the highways and byways here in Houston and surrounding cities. If you need prayer of any type, just give us a call at 346-719-3349. Again, that number is 346-719-3349. We are available to pray with you, to give you the word of God, what God is saying. A lot of times we can't hear for ourselves. Sometimes we don't believe enough, and we need someone to strengthen. The Bible says the prayer of the righteous availeth much. So we just thank God to be in the position to be able to help, to be used, to be that vessel that the Holy Spirit flows through, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. So if there's anyone that wants to chime in on the conversation when we pray, please do so at this time. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Seems like no one is chiming in. Pastor, you give us food for thought for today when we pray.
You know what? We should definitely practice. I mean, it's just as simple as that. I mean, I remember, you know, it was a point in time to where, you know, I did not know how to pray. I knew how to say a few things, but I did not know how to effectively pray for all that I needed. Not so much on worldly things, but all that I needed. You know, we should definitely practice and not be ashamed, you know, because, you know, that's what Satan wants to do. He wants to make you feel like, you know, this is ridiculous. Oh, you asking God to do that. God ain't going to do it because he's seen what you did. God ain't going to do it because he's seen what you said. You know, we need to know that God loves us. We need to know that God loves us. And one of my favorite scriptures is Galatians 5, and I think it's verse 5. And it says, neither circumcision or the uncircumcised availeth anything, but faith that worketh by Jesus Christ. And faith that worketh by love, which is in Jesus Christ. So what that is saying is that, you know, hey, it don't matter, you know what I'm saying, like, you know, who you are. I mean, if you're circumcised, not circumcised, that's what that means, but it don't matter, you know what I'm saying, you know, who you are. You need to know that God loves you, and he wants you to have that relationship. He wants and needs for you to know that you need to have that relationship with him, because without that relationship, you know, you will be destroyed. You know, this is a broken world that you live in, that you're living in this world that is ready to swallow you up and destroy you. And you should know that, hey, you have a father. You have a father that is waiting on you to talk to you, to show you all things. Amen.
Amen. If you just sent me into the preaching of the pastor, so we're talking about when we pray and how important it is to pray and what prayer brings. And there is power and authority given when we pray. Breakthrough comes when we pray. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 2:8, therefore I want the men everywhere to pray, lifting up holy hands without anger and disputing. It's so important that we are praying in this time. You know, a lot of times people say they don't know what to pray, or I can't pray like that. If you don't understand prayer, read let me pray. Learn the Lord's Prayer today. It is available. Go over and over and over till you get it. Just begin to speak to God, because he already knows what you need before you ask. He just want to know that you trust and believe him to do it for you. So when we pray, there's a floodgate will open in our life, a floodgate of blessings, a floodgate of favor and healing that you have yet to tap into. But when we pray, and when we, in the title, when we pray, meaning when we come together, get someone to pray with you. Get people that's going to pray for you. Don't get people, everybody got somebody that can gossip, or you can get on the phone with and gossip. But can you get someone that's going to pray with you, that's going to pray for you, that you can come together, get on the prayer line. Make prayer part of your daily life, your way of living. Make prayer part of your lifestyle. This is what I do every day at this time of day. Get you some praying warriors. Get you some praying partners, somebody that's going to be there and pray with you at this time, that's going to uplift you. Because we can gossip all day long and talk about everything else, but when it's time to pray, can we pray? Because in understanding when you pray, because we'll spend all that time gossiping, but when we pray, oh, let me tell you, the heavens open up. People can receive their healing. People can be delivered. People can be set free. People can receive the protection that we need in this cruel world, in this evil world that we're living in. God can do it when we pray. If you're looking for God to do it and you have yet to get on your knees and pray and ask God, what are you really asking God to do? What are you really saying to God when you can't even get on your knees and pray to the Most High God to do it in your life? I'm looking at 1 Timothy, and we're going to wrap up the show. 1 Timothy 2 and 8, and I'm going to pray for you all. The Bible says, I desire, therefore, that the men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. What is the Bible saying to us? Besides this pleasing God, it is difficult to pray when we have sin or when we feel angry and resentful. So we got to pray. We gotta do away with those feelings of anger, because you can't pray and receive if you're angry, if you're resentful. So we need to put away these harsh ways and feelings so that we can pray, that we can go into and pray in the Spirit. That is why Jesus said that we should interrupt our prayers. That Jesus said that we should interrupt our prayers if necessary to make peace with others. So until you have that peace, you can't pray. I've been praying for someone because there wasn't peace. There was something that was holding. There was some kind of spirit that was on them. I couldn't pray until that spirit was broken and there was peace on them that we can pray. So God wants us to obey him immediately and thoroughly. So our goal should be to have a right relationship with God and also with others when we pray. Hallelujah. Amen. Let us pray. Father God, we just want to say thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you, Father God, for all that you're doing right now in this season, Father God. We decree and declare the word in Colossians 4 for us to devote ourselves to prayer and be watchful and thankful all the days of our life in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Father God, I ask right now if there's anyone that's dealing with any sickness in their body, Father God, anyone that's dealing with any type of illness, oh God, we pray right now in the name of Jesus Christ as we come together, Lord God, collectively, Father God, as the church, Father God, and we pray for their healing on tonight. If there's anyone that needs deliverance, Father God, from whatever it is, any way of sin, a pattern of sin, anything that the enemy has caused them, any curse, any spoken or written curse, we decree and declare that deliverance on tonight in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Father God, if there's anyone on tonight, Lord God, that does not have no peace in their home, no peace on their job, Father God, we pray for peace in the home right now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And Father God, we just want to say thank you, Lord God. Lord, that you are blessing with joy, unspeakable joy, in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray for divine restoration for all in whom that are listening on tonight, for them and their family, anyone that's attached to them, Father God, that they will be restored right now to your greatness. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Father God, we just ask you to help us, oh God, help us all, oh God, for we all need your help, no matter what our status is, our financial status, our marital status. Father God, we all need you, Father God, for we live in this world. The world does not live in us, Father God. So we just want to say thank you for living in us, oh God, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And we plead the blood of Jesus Christ over all that is listening, over our family, all that we have, over your finances, your home, your cars, vehicles, anything, any store that you may enter, any place that you may enter, anywhere that your foot may tread. We plead the blood of Jesus Christ over right now, and all that you have in love is covered by the blood, healed, delivered, set free, blessed, and protected by the blood of Jesus Christ. For you are blessed, and you can never be cursed, because God has promised you blessed, and that God has blessed, no man can curse. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And Father God, we just want to say thank you for answered prayers. We decree and we declare right now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth that all things are working together for the good of our lives, and all in whom we pray for this day, all that is online, know and receive right now your healing, your deliverance, your freedom, your blessings, the favor from God, your protection, because it is ready, available for you to receive, and it's up for you to receive it, believe it, and receive it in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And Father God, we just want to say thank you, Lord, and we seal this prayer with the blood of Jesus Christ of Nazareth that does all things but fail. In Jesus Christ's holy name, we pray with thanksgiving. To God be the glory, and we all say amen. Tune in tomorrow night at 8 p.m. on the Preacher and the Pastor Show. We're talking about every house ain't a home. Make sure you tune in. It's going to be a great show. We love you. God bless you. And you all take care. Good night from the Preacher and the Pastor. Good night. God bless you. God bless you, love.
You glad?